It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. General Motors CEO Mary Barra is on Capitol Hill today meeting lawmakers behind closed doors as her company comes under fire for announcing up to 14,000 job cuts and U.S. plant closures. Here she is talking with reporters yesterday about a plant slated for closure in Ohio.
We are in an industry that is transforming faster than I've ever seen in my 38-year career. And we're trying to make sure that General Motors is strong and that we're in a leadership position in the technologies like electrification, like autonomous vehicles, like connectivity, because that's what customers want. That's what, where the industry is going.
We're looking at the ripple effect with Doug Fisher now. He's an assistant professor and director of the Center for Supply Chain Management at Marquette University. Doug, welcome to the program.
No, it's wonderful to be here, Kate. Good morning.
So even though GM is turning a profit, it says it's shutting down production at five facilities in North America, slashing thousands of jobs. It's a move that's expected to save the company $6 billion by the end of 2020. What's your reaction to this move?
I think it is quite easy to focus on kind of the headlines of the moment, but as Ms. Barra indicated, the industry, not just General Motors, is facing some unprecedented changes in terms of its market. And if you you step back and look at it might take 5 years to bring a what I would call a new legacy vehicle to market. They're faced with a dramatic change in the electric vehicle and the autonomous driver. I think they learned from the mid-60s when the Japanese were bringing higher quality at lower cost. I think they learned from the bankruptcy in the past decade that they are trying to get ahead of this power curve and make some reinvestments. If you step back a minute, there's the head of engineering at Google says this next century will face more change than we've seen in the last 20,000 years. And the automotive industry is just one of those pieces. Powertrain technology, electric drive, battery power, that's all moving quickly, but also there are increasing restrictions on the internal combustion engine, our traditional approach. There are extreme advances in the connected vehicle, and quite frankly, we haven't seen anything yet. We're now at 4G, and 5G is coming in, and 5G is 100 times faster. And even more so, there's a shift in mobility preferences.
Mm-hmm.
In my day, graduating from high school, I couldn't wait to get my hands on that Mustang convertible. And right now, these younger people aren't really thinking in that way. They're looking at mobility, the pay-for-use model. Deloitte, one of the world's most advanced consultancy, thinks that by 2040, probably more than 50% of the miles traveled will be in either shared or autonomous vehicles. For the automotive industry to make those kinds of changes, they have to begin acting now. And then there's one other thing. Go ahead.
Doug, I want to break down a few of these trend lines you're seeing, sure, because you've been throwing out some things here. But first of all, going back to the changes we're seeing in what cars people want to drive. GM says it's working to build the car of the future, but the company also says it's working to get cars that drivers want now, things like trucks, SUVs, and crossovers. Is this a tricky balancing act that car companies are facing these days as drivers change their preferences?
Yes, and the changes, while we may think are slow to come, for General Motors right now to bring just a new SUV, traditional SUV to market, may take them 5 years from design to testing to validation to changing their entire production model, and it may take 5 years. Well, if you think they only have 10 years to come up with the autonomous vehicle, which is an entirely different technology, and then to hope that the market adopts it at a rate that they're financially viable, they have to begin now. It's just the nature of that business.
And as we move away from sedans, GM says it's shutting down the end of sales on the Fiesta, the Fusion, the Taurus. Is the era of the small passenger car over?
Well, it certainly is in this environment, but if you look at some of the designs for the autonomous vehicles, They look a little bit more like a cooler on wheels. there's windows around. You can sit in any direction. There's no steering wheel, brakes, or pedals. It's an entirely different approach to market. And then, I think in addition to General Motors, cities need to take a look at it. In a city the size of Milwaukee, some research done by Columbia University would indicate that the citizens of Milwaukee could get the same mobility with about 15% of the vehicles on the road today.
I'm going to jump in right here. Doug Fisher, watching all of the changes in the car industry. You can join in 800-642-1234. Conversation continues here on the Ideas Network. The morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. GM is stopping production at plants that make sedans, including the Chevy Cruze, the Impala, the Volt Hybrid. GM detects that we're way more interested in buying trucks and SUVs, and lower gas prices and better fuel efficiency are also in the mix here with that decision. About three quarters of GM sales last year were trucks and crossovers. We're exploring how this shifting auto landscape impacts us here in Wisconsin. And Marquette University professor Doug Fisher is with us. He runs its Center for Supply Chain Management. Your questions, your reactions to GM and the move. 800-642-1234. Does your company feed into the auto industry? Are you a parts supplier? Will this move by GM to close plants impact your life? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Doug, Wisconsin has been through this, right? We have felt the pain from GM before, and listeners will well remember the closure of the GM plant in Janesville happened a decade ago. And now these recent announcements of plant closures, they won't impact Wisconsin in the same way that Janesville did. But what is the possible ripple effect here?
You're quite correct. I think with the closing of Janesville, it's the last direct auto manufacturing facility in the state. But if you step back, the auto industry is a supplier-based industry. I think 80% of a Honda is made by someone else, just assembled by a Honda. You can take those percentages around. And Wisconsin is the machine shop of the world. To pull a little bit from John Goethe, the Wisconsin's historian, you know, before Silicon Valley, there was the Menominee Valley, and we were a manufacturing center for quite some time. And we have suppliers who supply to General Motors, and whether they be metal benders or injection molders or electrical connectors or electrical sensors, all of those companies in Wisconsin feed the auto industry. So instead of, and it's a little bit of a stretch, thinking of making buggy whips, we now have to participate in a more electronically motivated and controlled industry. We may make the sensors, the controllers, not only for the vehicles, but for the new production lines. And I think our challenge right now is probably to skate to where the puck will be. And follow along with the lead if the industry is expected to move to electric and autonomous as rapidly as they are.
Let's bring in Cindy in Appleton now. Hi, Cindy.
Good morning. Well, I don't think you're talking about the elephant in the room here. People are not buying cars because they don't want to. They're buying trucks and SUVs because that's all they're marketed and brainwashed into buying. That's all you see on TV anymore, truck and SUV commercials. That's all you see in magazines, truck and SUV commercials. People are buying what they're being brainwashed into buying.
Cindy, that's a really interesting point. Doug Fisher, what does marketing have to do with this?
An awful lot of marketing can create markets. Nobody knew they needed a smartphone until they came up with one. In this case, I think the auto industry is pushing what the world is selling, and to a large degree with a low price of gas. I think it just dropped below $2 a gallon here in Milwaukee. The SUVs and the gas guzzlers are still a very attractive piece of the proposition. I remember back sitting in gas lines in the 80s, and I went to the smaller vehicle. So there's more to it than I think just a marketing campaign. But, yes, they will sell those.
So as the electronics on cars become so much more sophisticated, do you see new markets for Wisconsin that we can really glom onto?
Oh, absolutely. An additional elephant in the room is the Foxconn company. I know it's politically charged, but they're the world's largest global manufacturer of electronics, and they sell to all industries, Apple, Amazon, as well as the manufacturers of electronic components. I think that's going to bring an incredible amount of interest in the manufacturing community back to Wisconsin.
Well, Doug, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
Doug Fisher is an assistant professor and director of the Center for Supply Chain Management at Marquette University. We've been talking about the impact of GM as it looks to close plants around North America. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.